Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bott is here, and Calvin Dietenhoff on the board. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Or if you're watching on the live stream, leave a comment there. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Lots coming up on the show today. Coming up at 10:33, he has been a guest before, and we're really looking forward to having him back. Retired Brigadier General Steve Anderson is going to join us. He had decades of service in the military, and we're going to talk about NATO, why NATO is important, why funding aid for Ukraine is important. That is coming up at 10:33. If you have a question for General Anderson, Brigadier General Anderson, you can certainly text that in or email it to Jane Says. Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Next hour, we're going to lighten things up a little bit. We're going to talk to J.R. Radcliffe from JS on Sports Online. He is their sports guru. Lots of things to talk about there. And at the very end of the show, Nomi Serrano is the regional coordinator with WeWick, Wisconsin Women in Conservation, and they're hosting an urban ag workshop next week. So we're going to talk to her and find out who should go and why would you want to go and all the various things that you can learn and take advantage of. So that's coming up at the very end of the show. I hope you can stick around for that. We do have a couple breaking things that happened right as we were coming on the air.
Like walking into the booth where, come on, news!
Seriously, can you not just drop this right as we're about to go live? O.J. Simpson has died. He was 76 years old. Apparently, he had a battle with cancer and ended up in hospice for the last couple of months. Lots of stuff we could talk about there. I don't necessarily want to spend a lot of time talking about the legacy and the, let's say, double legacies.
The legacy Simpson. And notoriety.
Yeah, that too. O.J. Simpson dead at the age of 76. The other thing that literally just broke, this is from wispolitics.com. Justice Ann Walsh Bradley announcing she will not seek re-election in 2025. After fellow liberal Janet Protasiewicz's victory last spring, Bradley told reporters she did plan to seek a fourth term. But the 73-year-old said in a statement this morning that she knows she can do the job and do it well. She was confident she could win re-election if she ran, but, quote, it's just time to pass the torch, bringing fresh perspectives to the court, unquote.
That's a noble way of putting it. I wish a lot more congressmen and senators would have that idea. But get ready, Jane, for the most important election ever. Then the next one.
And then, well, but as you said, right before we came on the air, this is going to affect the balance on the court again.
Yes.
The 2025 election will again put control of the Wisconsin Supreme Court up for grabs after the election of Justice Protasiewicz flipped it to the left for the first time in 15 years. Already, Waukesha County Circuit Court Judge Brad Schimmel, the former GOP Attorney General under Scott Walker, has announced that he plans to run.
Of course, because, you know, why not let the ink get dry on the paper before you announce? Well, at least we don't have to worry about a single election. Oh, darn it. We have two more elections this year.
And we're going to talk about that as well and what it means for Wisconsin being a swing state and whether or not this is good or not. We're going to have that discussion a little bit next week. But that was breaking this morning. Justice Ann Walsh Bradley announcing she will not be seeking re-election to the Wisconsin Supreme Court in 2025. I want to start off, though, with lies. Let's talk lies, Greg Bach.
Tell me lies. Tell me sweet little lies.
Lie to me, baby. Thank you, Johnny Lang. Washington Post had a big article just a couple of days ago, and the title says, which Trump lies stick? Republicans believe some falsehoods more than they did 6 years ago, according to their findings. The Washington Post fact checker wanted to get kind of a pulse on where people are. Halfway through Trump's presidency in 2018, they did a poll that found that most Americans, including Republicans, did not believe many of his most repeated claims. A fresh Washington Post poll shows that remains largely the case. About 28% of Americans believing Trump's false claims tested in the poll. Donald Trump, though, has made significant inroads convincing Republicans that his lies are the truth, especially when it comes to election integrity.
Yes, it's keep on pushing on that cut. You just make it hurt more and more. You never forget. You just never, ever forget. And then eventually that pain is always in your head. You always think about it, even when it's not there. They're just going to keep on pushing this and pushing it and pushing it in a very specific way too. It's not just, I mean, Trump's on the pulpit saying they stole the election. We were robbed. I won Wisconsin. But other leaders are doing it in a different fashion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like some of our own local leaders.
Yes, like we, like California landowner and U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde speaking on the topic.
I'm not going to spend my time talking about 2020. Do I believe the election was stolen? No, but did things happen in that election that were very troublesome? Absolutely, and I can point them out right here in Wisconsin. We had Zuckerbucks come into Democratic cities in a big way to push out, working with cities to push out Democratic votes. We had nursing homes where the sheriff of Racine investigated where you had 100% voting in nursing homes. Well, if you're in a nursing home, you only have 5-6 month life expectancy.
You're almost dead.
Almost nobody in a nursing home is in a point to vote.
So there is that. First of all, I'll just never get over that statement of, one, his total shock that there's 100% turnout in a nursing home. And, you know, the moment you just walk over that threshold at Shady Acres, don't get too comfy in that bed because you're going to be gone anyways,
yeah,
buddy.
You're not going to be here long.
But what he does is he does this. He says the 2020 election is over. It wasn't quote-unquote stolen. But there are some shenanigans. Shenanigans like, and he says them, he doesn't totally plant the seed, but he plants it.
Well, there's enough doubt.
There's
right?
enough.
There's just enough doubt to keep that lie going.
Exactly. It makes you say, like, well, what does he mean by, I've heard of Zuckerbucks. I should look that up. And of course, if you look up Zuckerbucks, you're going to find a bunch of information that agrees with the things that the ice diver, Eric Hovde, is talking about. But it's still happening too. Just the other day, or just yesterday, with sitting state Republican Senator Van Wongard from Racine, who in an interview with Emily Fannin from CBS 58,
she did a great job,
had this to say about the election.
There's a lot of Republicans who want to move on from that. What do you think, though, when you hear the former president Donald Trump continue to spew falsehoods about the 2020 election when many are trying to move on?
Is it false?
That he won Wisconsin?
Do you have inside information that I don't have? Because I think that there's a potential that Trump could have won here, but we don't actually know. Because there was some shenanigans that was pulled.
Despite a review, despite an audit, despite a review by Will, you still believe the election was stolen from Trump?
Oh, I didn't say it was stolen. Okay. I said, but what I'm saying is that Trump could have won. I don't think all of the documentation that was brought forward is necessarily all the documentation. I think you need to look at all of the factors and do a total investigation. You can't just look at pick and choose and cherry pick what you want. I'm for moving on. Yeah, 2020 is behind us.
Just want to get clarity, though. You think he won in 2020?
I said I think he has the ability to make the determination in his mind and in his heart, did I win that or not?
What?
I think that may go down. You know what, Jane? We should really do something at the end of the year, greatest political statements, like an awards thing. Like if you ever watched Laugh-In, The Fickle Finger of Fate, that, and kids, if you don't, it was on TV. TV is something your grandparents watched. I have never heard such, I can't even say the words. They're all swear words. It's craziness. Well, first of all, guess what, Jane? I'm making an announcement today.
Okay.
Here on Matt and Aaron Air on the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm going to say this right now. I won Wisconsin. Thank you, everyone. I won Wisconsin because apparently I just have to think it. And that's it.
And it makes it so.
Oh, my God.
It makes it so. That is remarkable. That's just remarkable.
But he's doing exactly what Hovde is doing, and exactly as other politicians are doing. They're saying, let it go.
Let's move on. Let's move on.
But if I'm being honest here, people, I'm just going to say that not all the reports are in.
And kudos to Emily Fannin
yes.
for being both professional and just absolutely tired of him. Like, just there's just so much stank on the words from her to him because he deserves no respect for what he just said. He sounds ridiculous, but people are buying it.
Yes, they are. Bill from Oconomowoc is on the line. Good morning, Bill. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for the job you do. You make less people buy into that by educating them the way you are. But with that, Ben Hufte, Eric, whatever his name is, our long-distance candidate, as I call him, he needs to be debated. And he needs to go out in a public forum and debate anybody or everybody. He needs to come on radio shows, especially maybe something like yours, and defend his ridiculousness. Here's how desperate that party is. I think we all forget at times, myself included, the best they can do, the best, has 91 felonies and 26 sexual assaults. That's the best they've got. No wonder they're in chaos. No, no wonder they're making up stuff. They're about as desperate gets. But thanks for the job you do of educating people. We need more of that.
That's really nice of you, Bill. Thank you so very, very much. We really appreciate it. I'd love to get Eric Hufte on the show.
I would love to. And I would. And honestly, I know we say things. We can have fun with him. But if he sat in this room right now, we'd be respectful.
Absolutely.
We'd talk to him. We'd ask him. And I've seen him do interviews, like podcast and videocast interviews. And he just says the same thing. And the person who's interviewing him is just like, yes.
And they let it. There's no pushback.
There's no pushback.
There's no fact checking. And like you said, that Emily Fannin did a really nice job with Van Wangard, who essentially said, well, if Donald Trump thinks he won the election, then he did.
Yeah. And if you're going to have a sitting elected official or someone who's representing the state sitting in your room and you don't challenge them and you don't try to get them to say what they really want to say, then you're wasting my time, their time, your time, and the listeners' time.
855-75-CIVIC if you would like to join the conversation. We're going to keep this going. And by the way, I've decided I'm 5'11", 120 pounds, and I have emerald green eyes. So stay close.
You're listening
to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just
good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, ready to take your calls and your texts at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Talking about a Washington Post article from a couple of days ago. Among Republicans, fewer Republicans now say that Trump regularly makes misleading statements. Slightly more see him as more honest than they did in 2018, despite a large amount of evidence that Trump often does not tell the truth. Of course, over the course of his presidency, the Post documented more than 30,000 misleading or outright lies. And we're talking about CBS 58 reporter Emily Fannin, who is talking to our very own Senator Van Wangard about the results of the 2020 election and how it just seems like so many Wisconsin Republicans say, well, we don't want to live in the past. We don't want to look back to 2020. It's gone. You know, it's over. But was it legit? But
excuse me, I have something to say.
Let's replay that clip from Emily Fannin and Van Wangard.
There's a lot of Republicans who want to move on from that. What do you think, though, when you hear the former president, Donald Trump, continue to spew falsehoods about the 2020 election when many are trying to move on?
Is it false?
That he won Wisconsin?
Do you have inside information that I don't have? Because I think that there's a potential that Trump could have won here.
What?
But we don't actually know. Because there was some shenanigans that was pulled.
Despite a review, despite an audit, despite a review by... By will, you believe the election was stolen from Trump?
Oh, I didn't say it was stolen.
Okay.
I said, but what I'm saying is that that Trump could have won. I don't think all of the documentation that was brought forward is necessarily all the documentation. I think you need to look at all of the factors and do a total investigation. Huh. You can't just look at pick and choose and cherry pick what you want. I'm for moving on.
But
2020 is behind us.
Just want to get clarity, though.
He's not wrong there.
You think he won in 2020?
I said I think he has the ability to make the determination in his mind and in his heart. Did I win that or not?
So also, there's so many, like, we could honestly, we could spend a whole hour taking apart like every 10 seconds of that. Because when she says, that he lost Wisconsin, she says, yes, he did. She could have just ended the interview right there, because at that point we were going to get no facts. And the idea of he could have won, I know I made my claim, that I did win in 2020 in Wisconsin. I did win, because I'm thinking it right now. I'm going to make another claim. I could have won in 2016, too. He's saying nothing. Of course Trump could have won or would have won or whatever, but you're either for moving on or you're about doing what he's doing.
Well, and the fact that he discounts the findings of the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, which is essentially an independent legal group working for the Wisconsin Republican Party, yeah, is hilarious.
Yeah.
Jake in Madison texting in, Emily Fannin should have been like, quote, I can say I'm the queen of Sheba, but does that make me the queen? And what is going on in the water in Racine County? They can't charge GOP election fraudsters Voss recall signatures and can't report election results until the next day.
Fun fact, Racine water, really nice, but I get what he's trying to say. But like what you were saying, he is apparently the best to offer in Racine, or what Bill was saying, to represent the people. That's what he's saying. That's what he thinks. And he sounds ridiculous.
Gary from Sussex is on the line. Good morning, Gary. Thank you so much for joining us. How you doing?
Good. Now, I've called you guys a bunch of times, maybe once a month or so, and I'm a conservative.
Mm-hmm.
I like listening to your show. I laugh. I laugh with you and I laugh at you guys sometimes.
Fair enough.
But nothing personal. Okay, now I'm looking at it the way, as a Republican, Donald Trump, he lost election.
Okay? Yes.
But in his mind, nobody in this world will ever convince him that he lost.
You are correct,
so
Gary.
We have to understand that this is the way he looks at it. And does that make him evil or bad? No, but that's just the way he is. Okay. Now, as far as people saying strange things, okay. Now, yes, he was the president of the United States. What about Kamala Harris? Okay, the other day when she said for the first time, she's so proud to say that women bracketing for the first time ever in 2022, women were allowed to have brackets. Well,
Gary, I got to stop you right there. We're not, one, I don't know what that's about. Two, we're not talking about Kamala Harris. We're talking about elected and those seeking elected offices making claims that we need to move on the election from 2020, but then trying to sow seeds of doubt. That's what we're talking about right now.
But you're laughing at him, and I understand because I laugh at him too. I mean, you know, his biggest problem is his mouth.
Who?
Okay.
Trump?
Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Okay. But Joe Biden's the same thing. The stuff that comes out of Joe Biden's mouth. I mean, we all sit there and drop our jaws. You know, it comes out of his mouth.
That'd be fine, Gary. But he's not. But Joe Biden's not trying to uproot our election process.
And so doubts about our election process,
yeah,
which is, Gary, what I think that's kind of our focus on. It's a lot of these Republicans saying, yes, the election is over, let's move on. However, I still think that there was hanky-panky, so we can't trust what's coming forward. And I guess that is my biggest concern, is when the votes are counted in November of this year, and if the results aren't the way a particular party wants them to go, we're going to be right back where we were after 2020, that the election was stolen. And we're going to go through all of these court cases all over again, and there is no proof. After all of these investigations, after all of the money was spent, after we shelled out $2 million for Michael Gableman to find no evidence of voter fraud. And yet we still have these people who want to continue this falsehood and raise these doubts about our election system.
And Robin Voss, the Assembly Speaker and a fervent Trump supporter, has said these elections were fair, they were accurate, there was no foul play, there was nothing to find there. This is Robin Voss. This isn't me. This isn't, you know, this isn't Tammy Baldwin or Russ Feingold.
It's the Wisconsin Institute of Law and Liberty.
Yeah. So our point is staying on topic here, which is elected officials and those seeking office are still trying to sow doubt because they know that will get them votes when they try to instill fear, paranoia, and just this idea that they're trying to take our election, our process, our freedom away from us. And that does make it wrong, and they're bad for doing it.
Gary, we really, I very genuinely appreciate you listening to us, laughing with us, laugh at us. We can take it. I have no problem with that.
And thank Jane you, can take it.
And thank you for being willing to engage with us. Very much appreciated. We have news on the way next. When we return, retired Brigadier General Steve Anderson is going to be our guest, and we're going to talk about NATO and aid to Ukraine. Important discussion. I hope you can stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nailed it.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very, very much for joining us. Jane, Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join the show, call, text 855-75-CIVIC or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Very excited to have our guest join us again. You were here a couple of months ago, and it was such an interesting discussion, and it's gotten a lot of traction on our social media accounts, and I think it's really important information, which is why we wanted to have you back. Retired Brigadier General Steve Anderson is joining us. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you so much for having me on again. It's a real pleasure to be here.
It's such an important conversation, Steve. And for people who didn't hear you the first time around, if you wouldn't mind just sharing a little bit of your background and your experience in the military. Well,
absolutely. Well, I'm a 31-year Army guy, and I'm proud to have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, Korea, Germany. I've served in NATO environment multiple times, and I was proud to have been the senior logistician, the senior logistics officer for General David Petraeus in 2006 and 7 during the, you may recall, the 5-brigade surge when we were trying to bring more troops very rapidly over to Iraq, and I was very, very proud to have been part of that mission. And I've been retired now for about, hard to believe, 15 years, but I've been a businessman. I've done a number of things. And one of the things I do, by the way, is I work with a group of fellow retired senior leaders in the government called National Security Leaders for America. And we're trying to essentially we've got over 700 members they call ourselves members, and we're essentially trying to do everything we can to oppose Donald Trump and his presidency,
which I'm sure is shocking to some folks to think that so many members of the military and former members of the military are coming out against their former commander in chief. But so this brings us to NATO and the importance of NATO, and we're going to get to Ukraine also, because there's been some Looney Tunes stuff being said from certain members of the Republican Party about Ukraine and why they should not be getting any aid. But in your firsthand experience, Steve, why do we need NATO? Why is this important?
NATO is the most important and probably the most successful collective security agreement in world history. It has driven over the last 77 years an incredible amount of economic stability and political stability in the United States and NATO. And it's not an understatement to say that much of the things that we enjoy today in the United States came as a direct result of our NATO alliance. They allowed us to win the Cold War. They kept us from being escalating the Cold War into a nuclear confrontation. The cultural ties, the political ties, the economic ties with Europe have been so vital to our success as a nation and our prosperity as people that live here. And it just can't be overstated. And so NATO, I mean, the thought of even leaving NATO, of not supporting NATO as strong as we have, is just preposterous. And we've got to continue to support NATO because they're so key to our, like I said, to our economic well-being.
We are a global world now. Everything is interconnected. It's like the environment. It's all a part of a piece. And Donald Trump has said that he wanted to withdraw from NATO. And if they are not paying their dues, then Russia should just go in and attack them. That seems like a bad idea.
It's ridiculous. I mean, he's treating the NATO alliance as a membership at one of his golf clubs. that if you don't pay your dues, you get kicked out of the club. That's not how it works, you know, in national security. And first of all, there are no dues, okay? The requirement or the objective is for NATO participating alliance countries, of which there are 32 now since Finland and Sweden just recently joined, is the requirement is to develop or to provide 2% of your gross national product to national defense, to invest in your own national defense, essentially. Now, that's what it is. And, you know, and of course, some of the people have struggled, some of the member company countries, a number of small of them have struggled to meet that, you know, but 2% is, I mean, the vast majority of members of NATO alliance provide more of their GNP to national defense than does the United States. You know, but you know, difficulty in meeting that requirement doesn't mean that they aren't continuing to support everything the United States is trying to get out of that alliance. And don't forget, NATO was there for us for 9/11. Okay, the only time that Article 5 has ever been invoked, and of course that's the attack on one is the attack on all clause. The only time that has ever been invoked has been Europe and NATO's support of the United States. They went to Afghanistan because of 9/11. They went to Iraq because of 9/11. They lost thousands of their own flesh and blood as casualties in places like Iraq and Afghanistan. Why? Because they were loyal to the NATO alliance and because they wanted to support the United States. There's just no better alliance and no better friends that we have in the entire world than our NATO partners.
If you're just joining us, our guest is retired Brigadier General Steve Anderson, and we're talking about the importance of NATO and who would, if the United States, Steve, would withdraw from NATO, who would be happy?
Of course, Vladimir Putin. I mean, you know. And probably Putin's puppet, Donald Trump himself, you know, and unfortunately, a number of GOP whack jobs that that have aligned with themselves. And believe me, Jane, it is very painful for me to say this because I'm a lifelong Republican. I am a Ronald Reagan, George Bush 1 and 2, you know, Mitt Romney, Bob Dole. I'm always been a Republican, okay? And you know, but in the military, we try to be apolitical. We try not to get involved in politics, not to show. And I can tell you, in 31 years of Army, I didn't know what my bosses, who they voted for, or who they supported, even. I mean, that's just how apolitical the military is. But all of that, from my mind, changed on the 6th of January, 2021, when we saw the radicalization of the military and we saw an overthrow of the United States, you know, and we had a president that refused to accept the results, you know, and to contribute to a peaceful transition of power. All of that changed. And I felt that it was time to start speaking out about what was going on. And so I'm proud to say that over 700 senior leaders of the government, ambassadors, general officers, you know, admirals, et cetera, have signed on with us. And we're trying to do, like I said, everything we can to ensure that Donald Trump is never elected president again.
Sir, we've had in the past few weeks, we've had some individuals, they are Republican voters who have gone on the record to say they're not going to vote for Trump. And one of the things that we've discussed on this show is how to have that conversation. And I imagine that with your CV and your outreach, you're having these conversations with regular folks who are saying, I love Donald Trump, or the election was stolen, or why do we need NATO? It's not a group we need to be a part of anyways. We're America. How do you approach a conversation like that? Being a Republican too, where you might be saying, oh my gosh, I can't believe we're in the quote unquote same party. How do you approach those discussions? Because that's something I know that we all struggle with, to just sit down and not get immediately mad, to actually try to communicate.
Well, that's the million-dollar question. That's so hard. Why our nation is so polarized is because each of us tends to go to our own news sources and our own little microcosm of what we want to hear, and we don't listen to each other. So what we're trying to do is, by, you know, because we have been apolitical historically, we're hoping that can resonate with common Americans to say, hey, these are military guys. They're not in it for themselves. They're not in it for power or anything like that. They're in it because they care about America. They're in it because they care about what happens to this country. And so we're hoping that can help break down some of the barriers you just mentioned that are out there. You know, I mean, most of this is driven by ignorance. They just don't understand how important NATO is. They haven't been taught. They haven't learned. They haven't retained whatever. And they haven't been reminded how critical NATO has been to over the last 77 years of prosperity in the United States, in the entire world, how critical it's been to our development. So we try to educate people, say, just remember, you know, that this has been extremely important. This has created an atmosphere in which we've been able to economically prosper in a way that no one could ever imagine 77 years ago. And oh, by the way, they went to bat for us after 9/11. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's not forget that. And people tend to do that. People unfortunately forget that 15 years ago, the United States was spending $300 million a day on the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. $300 million a day. You know, so people talk about supporting Ukraine is too expensive. Hey, look, I mean, supporting Ukraine, that's an existential threat to our nation. It's an existential threat to world, you know, peace and security. Iraq and Afghanistan was never really in that lake, in my opinion. Sure, they were a breeding ground for terrorists, but they were not that kind of a threat where they could actually take down the United States. Different story in Ukraine, where you're talking about an adversary like Russia that has nuclear weapons, hundreds of them pointed to the United States right now.
We're talking to retired Brigadier General Steve Anderson about the importance of NATO and also the importance of the U.S. continued support for Ukraine. Republican Representative Mike Turner on Sunday said that Russian propaganda has taken hold among some of his House Republican colleagues and is even being uttered on the House floor. Calvin, I believe we have a clip from Republican Representative Mike Turner. Let's play that.
Congressman McCaul made a comment this week about what he says sounds like Russian propaganda from some conservative media, and why it's so difficult to explain to Republican voters why supporting Ukraine is important. He told Julia Yaffe, quote, I think Russian propaganda has made its way into the United States, unfortunately, and it's infected a good chunk of my party's base. He singled out primetime shows on conservative channels. Do you agree with him? And how big is this problem?
No, it is absolutely true. We see directly coming from Russia attempts to mask communications that are anti-Ukraine and pro-Russia messages, some of which we even hear being uttered on the House floor.
Mike Turner talking to CNN's Jake Tapper about Russian disinformation now pretty much infecting a portion of the Republican Party. Our very own Ron Johnson, Steve, had said Putin's going to win. So what, you know, I guess we just give it to him.
It's insane. I mean, Ron Johnson just I don't know. There's it's hard to politely describe him in any other means, any way other than
you don't
absolute.
Have to.
Yeah, he's a moron. Let's get down to it. He's just a moron. You know, but all these guys, they get their news. They're taking their news from, you know, these sources, and it is Russian propaganda. I totally agree with that. I've been on Jake Tapper's time a couple show a couple of times, and Mike McCall's spot on. I mean, you know, they're hearing what they want to hear, and they're essentially taking their orders from, you know, from the, you know, the bronze god himself, Donald Trump, and, you know, and they're essentially speaking things that they think will appeal to him. But, you know, any true Republican like myself, you know, unfortunately, I'm proud to call myself a rhino now, you know, Republican in name only, because I simply can't associate myself with the present group of Republicans. But any true Republican supports strong national defense and has historically been opposed to Russia and their territorial gains, and would have, you know, and wants to support Ukraine and people, peace loving people like Ukraine, that they're fighting not for themselves. They're fighting for all of us. And people, we absolutely need to understand that.
We're going to go to a real quick break. When we return, retired Brigadier General Steve Anderson will still be with us. If you have a question, feel free to text it in at 855-75-CIVIC. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very, very much for joining us. Jane, Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Honored to be joined by our guest, retired Brigadier General Steve Anderson is here, and we're talking about the importance of America remaining in NATO, also the importance of America supporting Ukraine as the Russian onslaught against that country continues. Just for a moment to go back to NATO, Steve, I cannot imagine the blow it would do to America's reputation if we abandoned that organization.
Oh, it would be absolutely catastrophic. I mean, we would, I mean, there'd be so many negative outcomes from that it's just hard to imagine, you know, and that's why it's absolutely unconscionable to even think about it. You know, they have been so loyal. We've supported each other. I mean, sure. The United States is proud of what we've been able to accomplish in Europe, you know, the Marshall Plan and everything. And we've always been an incredibly generous and supportive partner for so many of those nations over there in Europe. And of course, many of us, you know, that's our ancestry. I'm Swedish, you know, and nothing made me prouder than to see Sweden join NATO just recently.
I bet.
But I mean, you know, but yeah, it would be absolutely catastrophic, you know, and we've absolutely got to continue to support NATO, and we've got to continue to support Ukraine. Incredible people. I've been privileged to go over there a couple of times. I went over there actually once since the war began. And when you meet a Ukrainian, you know, you're so impressed with really three things that jump out at me. You know, number one, they love Americans. I mean, they absolutely love Americans. They're incredibly friendly and supportive of us. Number two, they consider themselves Europeans. They really, really align themselves with Europeans. And the third thing is they hate the Russians. I mean, they don't consider themselves. They don't have anything to do with the Russians. Their history is you know, full of issues with the Russians, and so those three things: loving Americans, Europeans, and they hate the Russians. And that's why I say that no matter really what happens over there, and I know there's a stalemate going on right now, the Ukrainian people will never be defeated. Okay, they may lose some territory, But they're not going to be overrun, and you know it would be an absolute nightmare for Putin. But you know, we've got to continue to support them, you know, and we cannot turn our back on NATO, and we cannot turn our back on Ukraine. And by the way, they want to become a member of NATO eventually.
Our guest, in case you're just joining us, lifelong Republican, over 30 years in the military, retired Brigadier General Steve Anderson is here. Just to reiterate also, there is no Bank of NATO. They don't write monthly checks for their dues. That's not how it works.
I don't mean this to laugh. I'm just laughing at your tone.
Well, it's just, come on, people.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be investing this 2% in their own defense system, and that's how that works. We have another clip, Calvin, that I wanted to play from, of course, this is a former Republican lawmaker from Colorado. Now, of course, he gets to tell the truth. Ken Buck recently said this about some of the disinformation coming from the Republicans.
Mike Johnson, the speaker, is on the right side of history, and Marjorie is on the wrong side of history. We know that Russia is propagating these false statements, narratives about what's going on in Ukraine. We know that she is getting her talking points from Russia. And we know that they're false. And Mike Johnson is doing the responsible thing by trying to make sure we get a vote on Ukraine funding, make sure that the Ukrainian people can fight for their freedom. The fact that Marjorie is continuing down this false path, I don't think many Republicans are going to support her. There will be some. My experience with Marjorie is people have talked to her about not filing articles of impeachment on President Biden before he was sworn into office, on not filing articles of impeachment that were groundless on other individuals in the Biden administration. And she was never moved by that. She was always focused on her social media account. And Moscow Marjorie is focused now on this Ukraine issue and getting her talking points from the Kremlin and making sure that she is popular and she is getting a lot of coverage.
That's retired representative, Republican representative from Colorado, Ken Buck. This week, Steve, Marjorie Taylor Greene went on a podcast and said the Ukrainian government is attacking Christians. The Ukrainian government is executing priests. Russia is not doing that. Well, Vlad is such a long-standing Christian. I mean, come on.
Unbelievable. I mean, she's absolute lunatic. You know, she's a honor graduate of the moron class that included Ron Johnson and Matt Gaetz and so many others. You know, I mean, it's just so sad to see that. But I mean, to Americans out there, I say, if you want to stop the circus, stop electing clowns, okay? Because that's what we're doing. We're sending absolute clowns. I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene has no appreciated history. She probably couldn't even find Ukraine on a map. She is absolutely lost her mind, you know, but she's dancing to the puppet master's tune, you know, and it's just so sad that she's got an audience, and she knows that every time that she does something silly like this, she's going to get more attention and more hits in her social media or whatever. And that's what drives her, you know, and that's what excites her is, you know, bad news is better than no news. And so anything she can do to get attention, that's what she's doing. And we've got to send people like that packing, and we've got to send them home and start running our government like it needs to be run.
And I think it's important, sir, that we do things like having these conversations, because when you said earlier that people need to remember that NATO stood up for us after 9/11. I would venture to say a lot of people didn't even know that to begin with. When Jane says the Bank of NATO, if Donald Trump stands on a pulpit and says that's what's happening, that's what people believe. It's about educating people and letting them know the history of NATO, the importance of NATO, our membership in NATO, and why we need to stay a part of it. It's all about the education, which is what we are doing here today with you again, and we thank you for that.
Thank you, Greg. You're spot on. I mean, we've got to educate people. I mean, they're, you know, most Americans, they get it. You know, when they have all the facts and they understand the situation, they're going to make the right choice. I totally believe in the people, you know, are going to do the right thing. And, you know, I was proud to serve in the military for 31 years, you know, and that's a microcosm of America. You know, you get people from all walks of life, all races, all cultures, all, you know, religions. And it's an honor and a privilege to serve like that. Americans, you know, when given the right facts and given the right information, they're going to make the right choice.
It has been an honor to have you back. Thank you so very much. Retired Brigadier General Steve Anderson has been our guest. Thank you so very much. And I hope we'll talk to you again before November.
Me too, Jane. Thanks so much.
Stay with us. News is next on the Civic Media Radio Network.